Wood. Richard watched the flame burn black as the final candle's wick sank to the base of the flimsy tea light. The other four were already garish green puddles, remnants of last Christmas, dug out hastily to illuminate the evening. "There's sorbet for pudding," said Sarah, leaning across the heavy tang of wilting pine to take Richard's plate. "I love your lemon sorbet," he replied. "Shop bought. Sorry, didn't have time." Her words burbled like a burst pipe. Richard dabbed his lips with a linen serviette, one of six, wedding gifts from her parents and embroidered with their entwined initials. "Still a yes to the sorbet. Shall I make coffee?" "If you like." Sarah was already carrying the dishes to the kitchen. Flat, still damp hair dripped towards the curve of her back, the tangled ends overlong and splitting. "How about an early night?" he called out hopefully. Her voice echoed back from the kitchen. "I prefer to watch some telly. Relax for a bit. It's been a hell of a day. I'm shattered, but not ready for bed yet." Richard picked up the new pepper grinder, almost a foot high, polished and gleaming like an ebony phallic totem. Was his wife's anniversary gift a comment on his emotional intelligence, implying his inner life was static, immobile as a dense dark forest? Or was she just taking the piss out of his manhood? "We needed a replacement," Sarah had stated, "and it is made of wood. 5 years is the wooden anniversary." "Oh, I didn't know that." He should have played her at her own game, presented a tray of ice cubes, carefully wrapped in scented tissue paper, instead of the exorbitantly expensive bra and knickers set he'd chosen late that afternoon. The bra cups, or what masqueraded as support, were too small, apparently. But how could he know her cup size when he rarely penetrated the perimeter petticoat? The jingle of cutlery and slap of plates signalled Sarah was loading the dishwasher. Richard waited for her to return with the sorbet, not technically a pudding, more of a palate-cleansing head freeze. "Prefer to watch telly, huh," he muttered. Anticipating his wife's lacklustre libido, Richard had a contingency plan ready for execution. In the gloom, he slit open the sachet with a steak knife and tipped half the contents into his glass. The other half went into Sarah's untouched Merlot. Richard swilled the crystal goblet to dissolve the clear, stringy droplets. He drank the rest of his wine quickly. Sharp and stringent, it burned the back of his throat. Maybe he should have pushed the boat out a little further and picked up some bubbly. Prosecco used to work a treat on Sarah's underwear. "Can I help?" he called out. "No." She swung back through the door with two dishes, one in each hand. "I can manage." Sarah's voice lightened. "Where did you pick up the roses?" "The supermarket." "Don't you like them?" Two yellow spheres of sorbet, suns in miniature, squatted in the cereal bowl she placed before him. Richard felt the crack of ice at the edge of his spoon. The CD had ended. Neither of them moved to restart or replace it. "Somebody's cocked up big time," she smirked, letting out a hiccup. "The sachet of nutrients that came with the roses, it does a lot more sustaining than normal." Richard blinked as the room began to drift out of focus. Sarah tossed an empty black packet onto the tablecloth. "Put the sex back into your romance," she said and giggled. "I don't know what I've just emptied into the flower vase, but I think it's supposed to do more than stiffen their stems." He could no longer reply, mouth clogged with twigs and leaf litter, and his throat crackled, studded with musty bark. Some idiots muddled up the packets, whether by accident or for a joke, but it appears your half dozen blooms came with a sachet of love juice. What a hoot! Sarah knelt beside him, rhythmically stroking the material of his trousers. A dank coldness, like ancient roots, pushed down through his chest, down through his static legs, through his socks, through the soles of his feet, into the thick cream carpet. "I'm feeling more relaxed now," whispered Sarah. why don't you bring the rest of the wine upstairs, and we can have that early night after all? I'll just go up and change." Richard couldn't raise his head to watch her leave, unable to twist or turn his thick, solid neck. She hadn't spotted the other, empty sachet, the one that had come with the flowers, the one he'd picked up in haste. Around him, the house settled quietly, cooling and contracting. Sarah returned wearing only a petticoat. White satin stretched across the swell of her breasts and belly. Richard felt vindicated. She had put on weight. "I've been waiting." The girlish giggle had gone. Sarah's mouth was a tight pink line. "Why are you still sitting in the dark?" Lignin oozed through his veins, leaching beyond capillaries into every cell, coating every synapse. Memories scurried away like deserting rats, leaving Richard oddly relieved. The burden of sentient existence, of responsibility and guilt, would soon be extinguished. He could just be. "I wanted to tell you something tonight," said Sarah, her eyes squinting. "Something important. About us. About our future." Pale hands cradled the curve of her stomach. A small remembrance of Richard flickered. His seed had fallen on fertile ground. "You really are a prick." She snatched up the pepper grinder. "I get more response from this wooden object. You're sleeping in the spare room tonight, okay?" The pepper grinder flew over Richard's head, bounced off the wall, and bowled the photograph frame off the mantelpiece into the fireplace, where the glass splintered on the slate tiles, freeing the two startled mannequins from their wedding day pose. Somewhere, deep inside his trunk, a nerve ending twitched.